For the last number of weeks, we've been hearing in our second reading from the letter to the Hebrews. And this is the last weekend that we'll hear from the letter to the Hebrews, because next week it's Christ the King Sunday, and then the week after that is Advent already, the start of a new church year. And we won't hear from the letter to the Hebrews in our Sunday readings for another 3 years. So I haven't said anything about the letter to the Hebrews. I wanted to make sure I do that while there's still time. And the consistent theme that runs throughout this New Testament letter is priesthood. And so in today's reading, we heard this. Every priest stands daily at his ministry, offering frequently those same sacrifices that can never take away sins. Every priest stands daily at his ministry, offering frequently those same sacrifices that can never take away sins. So who's being spoken of here? So I'll give you a hint. It's not me or Catholic priest or priest of the new covenant. The author is talking about the priests of the old covenant, and specifically the temple priests. Because at the time that this letter to the Hebrews was written, Jesus and his own family would have done this. Faithful Jews would have gone to Jerusalem every year to the temple to make their sacrifice, their offering. And what were they offering there? Well, they were offering a lamb or a goat. Or if they were poor, then they would offer a couple doves. That's what Mary and Joseph did, actually. They offered a couple doves at the temple, the offering of the poor. And so every year they would come and do that. And if they had their own livestock, they'd bring their own livestock. But if they didn't, well, then they would have to buy the lamb or buy the doves outside the temple. And so this is why there's that scene in the Gospels where Jesus turns over the tables in front of the temple, because the people changing money are there. And what are people changing money for? Well, it's so that they can buy their offering that they're going to make at the temple. And so the letter to the Hebrews talks about this Old Testament priesthood, ministering there at the temple. Those priests would receive the lamb from the people making the offering. They would slit its throat, and then some of the organs would be burnt up and some wouldn't. So there was a certain amount of butchery that would need to be done then. But then they would offer that burnt offering, that animal carcass, on the altar. And thousands of animals, day after day, would have been slaughtered and offered there on the altar, such that people say that one would have been able to smell the temple a long time before they could see it, actually. So much sacrifice happening there at the temple. And why were people coming to make sacrifice? Well, it's because that lamb that they were offering was a symbol. It's a symbol of themselves. And so I know that because of my everything that God has given me, as well as in atonement for my own sins, what can I offer to God? The only thing I can offer him is myself. And so they would take this animal as a symbol of themselves, something very valuable. Animals then were expensive, like they are today. And if you had your own livestock and were bringing your own lamb, you wouldn't bring like the lamb that had like the big tumor on its leg and was going to die anyway. No, you very clearly, the Old Testament said you have to bring an unblemished lamb, a healthy one. One that you'd like to keep for yourself. That's the offering that's to be made. And so day after day, thousands of lambs and doves being offered there in burnt offering at the altar. So that's what the author is talking about when he says, every priest stands daily at his ministry, offering frequently those same sacrifices that can never take away sins because it was simply symbolic. It was a symbolic offering, but at the end of the day, it didn't do anything. So then he continues, but this one priest offered one sacrifice for sins and took his seat forever at the right hand of God. By one offering, he has made perfect forever those who are being consecrated. So who's the author talking about? Well, he's talking about Jesus, who does offer himself at the altar of the cross. And this is why at every Mass, the priest holds up the host and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Because Jesus is the Paschal Lamb. So he's the priest who does the offering. Why? Because he offers himself, but he's also the Lamb that's being slain. And the difference between Jesus, the Lamb, being slain and those thousands of lambs, bleeding lambs, offered there on the altar, the difference is that finally in Jesus is accomplished what could never have been accomplished with those thousands of dumb animals being slaughtered. Jesus offering himself at the altar is the perfect sacrifice, is the one who atones for sins by his offering that he makes there on the altar. So this is why every day by day, priests stand at this altar and offer sacrifice here. We aren't offering the sacrifice that doesn't do anything, which is the sacrifices of old that were merely symbolic, offering a lamb. But instead, who's offered here at this altar? Well, it's Jesus himself. So this is why the Catechism of the Catholic Church says that the Mass is a representation of the sacrifice of the cross. And so what does that mean? Well, it means that we become present again at the sacrifice. So we're transported through space and time and really at the cross when we're at Mass. It's pretty amazing. It's amazing for us to think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Saint John the Apostle, and Mary Magdalene, and the other women who were gathered around the cross of Jesus, who witnessed the death of our Lord. But we're there too. And this is the radical part that we believe, in no less real way. We are there too at the cross. And so that's why the Mass is... why we say the Mass is the source and summit of our faith. That's why coming to Mass is so essential. Why? Because it connects us to Jesus so directly, and it is a real being present there at the place where he shows us his love and offers his life for us to the Father, that place that actually accomplishes something. So this doesn't mean that every time at the altar Christ is sacrificed again. The author of the letter to the Hebrews says that there's one sacrifice offered, but every time we're here, that one sacrifice is made present again. And so that gift that Jesus gives us on the cross is renewed within us every time, and renewed in the world every time that the Mass is celebrated. Think of how much grace came from the cross 2,000 years ago, but the same grace happens and flows back into the world every time the Mass is celebrated, when Christ anew offers his body and blood for the sake of his bride. Who's his bride? It's us, the church, gathered together. So, brothers and sisters, I love these readings from the letter to the Hebrews, because it helps us to understand who we are and where we've come from. No longer needing ourselves to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem and bring our animal and have it slaughtered there symbolically, which didn't really accomplish anything, because Jesus has now accomplished that which so many people were trying to do for hundreds of years. So we're the beneficiaries of Jesus' one sacrifice. And so we give thanks to God for the gift of the Mass, the gift that Jesus offers us here. And let's ask the Lord to help us to enter more deeply into the mystery. The good news is that this is always true of the Mass, even if the homily is or isn't very good on a given day, or whatever else we're distracted by during Mass. This happens whenever we are here and we get the grace. How much do we need it? So we thank the Lord today for offering us his Son and being the one perfect sacrifice, finally accomplishing that which we so desired, the forgiveness of our sins, the healing of our hearts, and the opportunity for us in Jesus to offer ourselves back to God.